This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to gather together in the house of God for worship and prayer and singing, all to the glory of God. And it is my joy to welcome you to this place this morning, especially if you are visiting with us for the first time. We're very glad that you're here and hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. We have a practice every Sunday of registering our attendance, so those pads are at the end of each row, and I hope they may be making their way down the row as we speak. And if you would be willing to sign in and pay attention to the names of the others sitting on your row, and if there are some names you don't recognize, there'll be an opportunity to greet one another during the passing of the peace and after the service as well. If you're visiting with us and are looking for a place to call home, we have lots of information and people who can help you learn more about our congregation. If you go out this door at the end of the service, there's a welcome center, and there will be Andrew ministers with blue name tags who are here for you and would like to help you get to know who we are as West End United Methodist Church. A few announcements as we gather this morning, some opportunities for ministry today. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, there's a gathering of a group called NOAA, which is Nashvillians Organized for Action and Hope. And our congregation is a sponsoring group of that organization, and they're having a gathering. The mayor's gonna be there, and it'll be an opportunity to hear from her and some of the things that are happening in our city that will help make life better for our most vulnerable citizens. There's also a table in the narthex, in the Reed Hall that will be able to answer some questions for you there. 5 o'clock today, we have our Blessing of the Animal service sponsored by our older elementary fellowship, and that will take place in the back parking lot. And we hope you'll bring your family members who are either furry or slithery or whatever they might be for the celebration of the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi. And finally, on Wednesday, our college and young adult gathering of Brood Theology will be at 6 o'clock at Von Elrod's, which is on 4th Avenue. Lots of opportunities for study and fellowship and growth as part of this family of faith. This morning, we hear the calling from Jesus to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. May we commit our lives to grow in that love of God and neighbor together as we worship.
Thank you. are called to be the people of God's kingdom. In God's realm, we will find healing and hope. We are called to be people who love as God has loved us. In God's world, we will reach out with God's love to all God's people. We are called to be those who would serve. Lord, be with us as we serve you by helping those in need. Let us confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. Merciful and gracious God, we gather here this day, coming together seeking your healing wisdom. Our lives are filled with anxiety and fear. We turn our backs on people in need and shy away from opportunities to serve. Confusion and anger abound in our nation and in our hearts. Forgive us when we have chosen the pathways of greed and fear instead of the highways of peace and hope. Bind up our souls and calm our spirits. Teach us to turn to you in love. Write on our hearts the commandment to love our neighbor as we ourselves would want to be loved. It is in Jesus' name that we offer this prayer. Amen. God's love has been poured over us to heal and nourish our thirsting spirits. We have been forgiven. Now we are challenged to go forth in peace and hope to a hurting world. Thanks be to God for all mercies shown continually to each one of us. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning. Let us pray together the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit on my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer. Nor, from that day, did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And if there are other children who'd like to come up, we'd love for you to join us up here. This morning, we just heard somebody ask Jesus a question. What's the most important commandment? And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's pretty much what it's all about. It's all about love. But you know, this word love is one that we use a lot for a lot of different things. I love my family. I love this church. I love Moose Tracks ice cream. I love her new shoes. We use the word so much that sometimes we forget what Jesus means by love. When Jesus says to love somebody, he doesn't mean you're supposed to feel a certain way. He's talking about how you treat somebody, how we act toward other people. So there may be somebody that you don't really feel loving about, maybe somebody at school who's kind of mean, or somebody who's hurt your feelings, or somebody you don't really know that well. But even if we don't always feel loving, we can act in ways that are. We can be kind. We can include everybody. We can tell people what we think is right. All sorts of ways that God wants us to act out our love for God. So don't worry if there are times when you don't feel very loving. That's okay. That's normal. What I think Jesus cares about is how we treat each other and how we treat other people. Let's pray. God, the Bible teaches us that you love us completely. You accept us as we are, and you are always trying to help us be more like you. Help us to love other people, even when it's hard sometimes, even if we don't feel like it sometimes. Give us the courage to act and be kind and generous and include everybody. We can only do that through your love. And we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back to your seats with your parents or grandparents or friends. When we get to this place in Matthew's gospel, we realize the Pharisees are at it again. They've been after Jesus for quite a while now. Over the past few weeks, we as a congregation have been making our way slowly through chapters 21 and 22 of Matthew's gospel. And you may remember that in chapter 21, way back at the beginning, Jesus enters into Jerusalem. And he goes to the temple and he turns over all the tables. And from that moment on, everyone who's anyone in Jerusalem is after him. All the powerful people. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, we met them last week. They are all trying to trap Jesus, and they want to find some way to get rid of him, to get him to say something that will get him in trouble with the Romans or with the chief priests. And so now the Pharisees are making one more go at it, and this time they've brought in a ringer. This time they've got a lawyer. It's the only time the word lawyer shows up in Matthew's gospel in this moment. This is a guy who is an expert in all 613 commandments in the Torah. He knows them backwards and forwards, and he is ready to go head to head with anybody on questions and interpretation of the law. So the Pharisees push him forward, and he says to Jesus, "Teacher," and that's a clue, by the way, right away. Anybody in Matthew's gospel who calls Jesus teacher is hostile to Jesus. He's no friend of Jesus. "Teacher," he says, "what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now, this was a hot topic in Jesus' day among the rabbis and religious teachers and leaders. There were sort of two schools of thought. There were some teachers of the law who would say, yes, there are certain commandments that rise above the others, that are more important than others. There are those, however, on the other side who would say, you can't pick and choose. All of the commandments are equally important. If you break one commandment, you break all of them. And so perhaps the test that the Pharisees are putting Jesus to is to see which camp he falls into. So the man asks Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And of course, Jesus, in his brilliance and beauty, responds to the question in a way that is totally unexpected, in a way that nobody can argue with, and a way that lifts up truth. He takes a commandment from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And Deuteronomy says with all your strength, but that's not in Matthew's gospel for some reason. And then he takes a commandment from the book of Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And for the first time ever, no Jewish teacher has ever done this before, Jesus brings these two commandments together as one. And they become one commandment, one rule of life. Love of God, love of neighbor, love of self. They are all interconnected. And you cannot do one without the other. And this, Jesus says, is the commandment. All the other laws, all the other commandments hang on this one. The Pharisees have no response. No argument to make. And when we read these words of Jesus, we can feel their simplicity and their deep truth. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. I could stand up here for the rest of my life and preach on this commandment and never run out of words to say. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that. But we could spend our lives studying these commandments and never get to the bottom of what it means to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. If we didn't teach our children anything else, we would give them a life's work. It really is what discipleship is all about. The founder of our Methodist movement, John Wesley, gave it a word. He called it sanctification. Yes, as Christians, we come to that moment of decision where we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we get our ticket to heaven and that's it? No. No, John Wesley teaches. No, the scriptures teach us. That's just the beginning. What comes after that is a life of growing ever deeper in love with God and love of neighbor. And we never arrive. We never get to that point where we can just check the box and say, okay, I got that down. What's next? It is a journey that never ends in this lifetime of growing ever deeper in love of God and love of neighbor. But as I was sharing with the children, sometimes it's hard to know exactly what that means. What does love mean? We know that the Greek word used here is agape, but what does that mean? What does that love look like? And I have to confess something. There are times when I read this commandment, love God and love neighbor, and I settle for this definition of love that's just kind of this generalized benevolent feeling toward everybody. As if I can sit in my armchair at home and say, I love God and I love my neighbor, and I can go on Facebook and post some articles about things that I think are important, and I'm loving, right? Is that what love is? Just this sort of vague benevolence toward God and toward other people? That can't be what it is. That kind of love will never make a difference in our world. I'm not sure God can use that kind of love to transform the world and to build the kingdom of God among us. If we want to know what love is, we must look to the pattern of life of Jesus himself. Jesus, who left everything, who went out into the villages and towns around him and sought out the lost and the least and the hurting, who took seriously the health of people's bodies and healed their sicknesses and gave sight to the blind, who welcomed the most unlovable, the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the ne'er-do-wells and the lepers and those who nobody else would touch or receive. And I'll tell you something else. As I was looking at these verses this week, I noticed something I had never noticed before. As I looked at the context in which Jesus said these words of love, he was in a hostile environment. There were people who were trying to get rid of him, some who might even say hated him. And he responded with this commandment of love, which is not a commandment of weakness, but a commandment of strength and truth. And right after this text this morning, he launches in chapter 23 into a series of judgment. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees! Woe to you, hypocrites! Woe to you, blind guides! And I thought to myself, is that love? Jesus is really angry and judgmental, and he's pointing the finger. Could that be love? And I believe it is. I believe Jesus loves these Pharisees and that lawyer and all of these folks who are trying to trap him. He's one of them. He knows them and understands them, and he knows his time is short. And he wants so desperately for them to open their eyes and see the kingdom of God that is being given to them in him. And they're blind, and they don't see it, and they're leading other people astray, and they're doing harm. And so he loves them enough to stand up and call them out. And at the end of chapter 23, he weeps over them. How I long to gather you up, like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not listen. I thought about that this week as our communities prepared for these marches in Shelbyville and Murfreesboro, which, thank goodness, happened without incident and sort of fizzled yesterday. But as I tried to pray about how do I, as a Christian, respond to the hate that is coming from these white nationalist groups and others? How do we as a church respond to all the hostility that is flying everywhere in our culture? To respond with love is not a response of weakness. It's not some vague way of saying, yeah, we love everybody and I'm going to stay in my armchair. The love we are called to in Jesus Christ is a bold love that is willing to stand up and speak out and say, this is not the way of God. We as the church will not allow this to go unanswered. We have the life of Jesus Christ as our pattern. Jesus who healed, Jesus who spoke truth, and ultimately, Jesus who gave his life away on the cross. So what does this kind of love call us to? When we wake up every morning and offer ourselves to God and say, "Dear God, help me love you with all my heart today, with all my soul and all my mind and all my strength. And God, help me love my neighbor as myself." And whoever the neighbor is that God brings before us that day, and whatever gifts God has given to you to express God's love to others, may look different for each and every one of us. But may all of us wake up every morning with that prayer on our lips. Because then, with the powerful, strong, bold, and transforming love of God flowing through us, God might be able to transform this world into a more loving place for all. Amen. Almost every week we pronounce together this creed, number 883. Let this be for us a proclamation of God's love, a mission statement, an announcement of the strength and power of God's love that alone can transform our world. So let us stand together and with faith and boldness affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card that's located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you would like your prayer requests to be shared or if they should remain confidential. And you can place the card in the offering plates in a few moments as they are passed down the rows. This morning, we offer our sympathy to the family and friends of West End United Methodist member Jean Hart Stewart, who died on September 26th in Franklin, Tennessee. Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, of all creation, God who reigns over all of our lives, we come before you in humble prayer. Help us turn our hearts and minds more fully toward you. May our souls be filled with your love, so that we might return your love with our whole beings. God of hope and redemption, we pray for a world that longs for your centering peace. We remember those around the globe who continue to experience the ongoing effects of natural disasters. May they find comfort in distress and signs of new life amidst destruction. We remember those places that have been ravaged by war and other forms of human violence. May they find relief for their pain and signs of normalcy amidst chaos. We remember those who live in states of intractable poverty. May they find a world that acknowledges the worth of all of God's children and signs of abundance amidst scarcity. We pray for our community in the name of Jesus Christ, God with us, who taught radical, divine love of our neighbors. Gracious Savior, show us how to be in community and solidarity with those who suffer oppression and marginalization. When voices of hatred rise up in our communities in the name of racism and xenophobia, give us the courage to stand firmly opposed to such sinfulness. When rapid building and development force people from their homes and their neighborhoods, give us the wisdom to be people who make room for our neighbors. When our church wrestles with how to be in ministry in a changing city and a changing world, give us the vision and foresight to live into your purposes for us. Spirit of God, our companion and guide, work among us that we might share your light in ways yet unimagined and unseen. Healing and sustaining Lord, we pray that all who are struggling in body, mind, or spirit would be covered by your grace as we bring our own petitions to you in a time of silent prayer. And now we lift our voices to pray as Jesus Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I want to let you in on a little secret. I love our church. I love our clergy. I love our staff. I love our congregation. Yes, even you. I love the music. I love my Sunday school class. I love the missions and outreach. I love this beautiful building. I love it all. I know you love it too, and I know that it loves you back. The last 12 months marked a pivotal year in my family's life. About a year ago, I felt a tug on my heart and I volunteered to chair the finance committee. Taking this role helped lead me to a new job. How? Well, one of my interviewers took roughly 10 minutes to discuss how he had been the lead of his church's finance committee. I can't help but wonder where that interview would have gone without the connection we made over this opportunity to serve. The other event that shaped our year was the death of my father last November. As my father's only son, we shared a special bond. I was so thankful for our church family during that time. Those that knew about his passing offered sympathy and comfort. Those that didn't know were just as important, because they focused me on returning to my own regular routines. These are just two examples from my year of why I love West End. I have no doubt that you have plenty of stories of your own. Today, we are kicking off our 2018 Faithful Giving Campaign, West End Loves, West End Gives. The campaign is a time for all members to tell the church how much you estimate that you will give during 2018. It is a vitally important process because these estimates are how the church ensures it will have money to pay for the coming year. Remember, it is our tithes and offerings given out of our love for West End that both keep the lights on and feed the hungry. The church's annual budget has been over $2.5 million, which seems enormous to tackle alone. The good news is, as we just heard, you are not alone. The good news is that, look around, we are all a part of the church, and we can all turn in an estimate to help support the life and mission of the church we love. If we all help, that heavy burden will seem much lighter. Pastor Carol will be sending you a letter in the mail soon with an estimating card. Cards are also available in the pews, and you can drop them in the offering plates or in the basket on the table in Reed Hall. And as in years past, you can fill out your estimate online at westendumc.com/give. At the table in Reed Hall, we will also be handing out these great I Love West End stickers, so be sure and stop by and pick one up. This year, the church has set a goal of 400 estimates by November 19th, so let's see how fast we can hit that number. We made an awesome thermometer tracker that is going to be in Reed Hall, and we will keep updating it every week so we can see how close we are to the goal. Finally, I have a special message for those of you that have not made an estimate of giving in the past. I encourage you to contemplate and pray about participating. There's no way to effectively communicate just how much your own faith will grow and the connection you will feel with this church. So please, fill out an estimate of next year's giving, no matter the amount. It helps. Thank you for your time, and please join me in showing how much we all love West End.
Because we are called to love God with all of our being, we are called to embody that love in gracious, loving, living, and giving. May our generous tithes and offerings be a reflection of such all-encompassing love.
Thank you.
from this place to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And may that love flow through us, and may God use that love to transform the world.